Hi, K-Watchers. It's Leanne.
Hi, everyone. It's Juliet. Welcome to the K-Watch Party.
Today, we have Mr. Plankton, episodes 7 and 8. What's in a shoe? You know what they say, when you buy a woman a pair of shoes, it'll protect you from an island stabbing and she'll wander the country with you until you die of brain tumors. Let's get into it. Good morning, Juliet. How are you?
I'm great.
It's Christmas week.
Oh my gosh. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah.
Happy Kwanzaa. Happy all the things. Are you guys big Christmas people? I saw your Christmas lights are up in your house.
I mean, I love Christmas. I love the Christmas spirit. I love decorating. My goal is to acquire more and more holiday decorations. I want to be the kind of house that like really goes all out and feels like in the spirit.
You don't have that 100-foot inflatable snowman that we saw up on. Have you seen that?
I would love that thing.
He looks very precarious though because it's been very windy and rainy. And he is just moving with the wind. That guy does not look long for this world. So you want those kind of things?
Like, well, not quite like that. I want classy things in the house. But, you know, that bring the spirit. And we do have a number of things, but a lot of them are from Target, like the $5 bin. And so it's been a few years now and they're starting to come apart. So my goal is to ratchet up with some nicer things over the course of the next 10 years. I just love it. It feels, I don't know. I love the coziness and it's raining. It's also my son's birthday 4 days after Christmas. So it's just a lot of things to celebrate.
One of the things that like as you're trying to improve your collection and increase your collection is one of my best friends. She does this thing where everywhere they go on vacation, they'll try to find an ornament.
Yes.
So that's nice tradition.
I love that.
And now you actually have a tree full of ornaments that actually mean something. You know, a lot of these beautiful trees that we see on social media, they're just full of glass blown ornaments that some mom picked out somewhere. Right. But when you fill it with tchotchkes from places you've been, it's actually more fun.
I love that tradition. I was starting to do the one ornament a year when my son was young, and I took him to a very nice place that you recommended, and they had glass ornaments, some cool ones. You know, like we got a skateboard. Anyway, he came home and immediately threw it on the ground. And that was like $24 per ornament. So I was like, you know what? At least not for another 5 years. And that 5 years is coming up soon, but now I have one who's even more destructive and has way more brute strength. So we're
sticking
with... I was
going to say, you have to wait way longer with that one.
We're sticking with paper and plastic for now. And like all the nice ones are at the very top because she will take them all down and just start messing with them.
I feel like your little one is going to be like Elf. Like nothing will deter her. She will just run at the tree and grab onto it.
Yeah. Like, I mean, she's been hugging the tree every day. Have you gotten any ornaments that are very special to you?
We've got the Santa playing the ukulele.
Oh, I have that from Hawaii.
From the ABC store.
Yes.
Classic. We went to Petaluma earlier this month to cut down our tree.
Oh my gosh.
We did the whole fresh tree cutting situation.
Well, you cut it yourself like with a saw?
Yeah. Well, I did it. My husband did.
Damn. He must have felt like a real man.
You know, I think he would have, except his pants were so tight. Not quite the lumberjack you imagine in your head. And he's just looking at us like, are you guys going to help? And I was like, well, there's nothing really we can do. These blades, saws from this tree cutting farm needs to be sharpened. So it really, you're like hacking away.
Really?
You're not looking like Paul Bunyan over there. We're just a bunch of city people trying to cut down a tree.
His butt crack is showing.
Yeah, it was plumber's crack all over. So we were out there and we bought some cute, like a hedgehog, you know, some just like cute things. But you remember where you got them.
How was Christmas shopping this year for you?
I'm very late this year. I didn't get on top of it, per usual, I think. So
that's what rush shipping is for.
I know. Also, I have a 10-year-old and it's kind of hard to buy things for 10-year-olds now.
Why?
Like she has all the crafty things that you could ever want. And then it's like the other stuff I think that this preteen set is looking for now
is like skincare, is like stuff that you don't want her to
exactly have. Like cute little outfits with
crop tops
and this. That's not where we're going.
Yeah.
So then I kind of run out of genres to pick from. The 10-year-old's actually, I can't get her a tortilla blanket, like I said last week, because I've already given away so many tortilla blankets. So I don't know. I did get her a Barefoot Dreams blanket last year.
That's a good one. Although she's spoiled for life. You know, like we didn't get exposed to that till we were in our 20s. I had to deal with like itchy, flimsy blankets.
No, you, the Koreans, you guys have those thick.
Oh yeah, we did have the thick ones, but they were not cute. Mine were usually red.
Oh, they're always red with a giant flower on it?
Yes.
What is that?
I don't know.
Everyone gets it from the same blanket shop.
So you can get your period and nobody will know.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, so Barefoot Dreams, if you guys don't know, is this pretty much like the softest blanket on the market.
Yes.
Although I do get them the Nordstrom Rack one.
Oh, so but still the same, right?
Yeah, so at Nordstrom, this blanket is $100. But at Nordstrom Rack, it's $48. Ooh. So I'm also gifting my little one a Barefoot Dreams blanket this year. So yeah, that's blankets are my go-to. But
that's a good one. Yeah. Our kids are very privileged because I also can't think of anything that they need.
No, there's definitely no need.
There's no need. I saw something where someone said they do need, want, read. Maybe there's one more category, but
that's a good
so that you're not just like gifting a bunch of toys. But even with books, I feel these days they read them so quickly and then never look at it again. So I try not to buy books.
I mean, you just need to get your son a fancy bookmark and he'll be happy. Like then he'll want to be that for Halloween next year.
Well, so his birthday party was last weekend. And for the favor bags, I got books and bookmarks.
Oh, that's cute.
I don't know how well received they were, but
those kids opened it up and they're like, that's
fall far from the tree.
That's that kid's birthday for sure.
But they were cool, like sports books. Mm. I was like, that's the edge. And then they were Pokemon bookmarks, nice, you know. Nice. Do you and your husband exchange gifts?
We used to, but not anymore. He did buy himself over Black Friday a brand new Sonos.
Oh.
Like a
system.
Add-on thing to the already Sonos thing he has. Yes. And there's something about.
But where more? Like in the bathroom? Where else do you need the speaker?
I don't know. It's like a. He explained this to me and talked to me about it. And clearly, yes. And clearly it did not stick. I think there's a subwoofer thing now, maybe.
So when you watch TV, is it surround sound?
Yes.
Like around the house?
Around the living room area. Wow. There's something about men and their speakers. Like, what is that?
It's like their speakers.
It's like the modern day men in their cars.
Yeah. The big, what do you call it? The big like pipe. That makes all the noise.
Still don't know what you're talking about.
You don't know what I'm talking about. You know, the pipe that comes out of your car.
And exhaust.
The exhaust pipe. That's what I meant. The louder the sound, the smaller the dick.
Correct. What are we compensating for with our subwoofers, men? No, but like there's something where you test your surround sound and it goes beep, 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 like beeps and you just walk your phone around the house. These men will send each other videos of them doing the beep, boop, 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 boop around the house. Like, that's how into speakers they
what?
Are.
What?
Bunch of weirdos. Do you guys trade gifts?
I don't. I usually don't get a gift. My husband will sometimes buy me gifts. Not for, I feel like for the holidays, not so much. But when it comes like Mother's Day or my birthday, he does. And then I usually don't get him a gift. That's how it works. But
ever.
This year, I was looking at him going to work in his button-down shirt and it was all wrinkly. And I was like, you know what? I think you need to look better. So I'm getting him a steamer.
A stand-up one.
Yes, a stand-up one.
I've seen there is a handheld one. It's probably like a as seen on TV, but as seen on Instagram kind of thing where it's a handheld.
Like a straightener.
Like a hair straightener. Yes.
I have also seen that.
And it's good because you can get in the buttons.
Yeah.
I don't know if it works though. It takes up less room than a standing steamer. Right. He still wears button-ups?
Yes. I mean, he has the same wardrobe he's had for the last 20 years. He's a man who does not like change. Mm-hmm. I tried to get him some wide-legged pants and he refused.
My husband did just get a haul from Black Friday and it has been a constant like runway show of pants of varying widths.
Widths, yeah. Because you can't wear the skinny jeans anymore.
It's too tight.
It's too tight. You look lame when you're chopping down a tree.
Just bursting out of your khakis. So it has been, yes, going from not skinny, but from a very slim then to a medium, then to a wide leg.
Oh, too wide.
Mm-hmm. And so there's been a lot of back and forth about this one particular, like, Tom Snyder pant that's very nice. It's just a little wide, but, you know, because it's Tom Snyder, they make it, like, the right cut. Like, it's not baggy. It, yeah, like, feels right, but it's still wider than we're used to. So it's just, like, adjusting your expectations, right? Like, you just get used to certain things. And so the initial shock of it. So I was like, keep them. And we'll all get used to you in wide leg pants. So you might be seeing my husband walking down the street, chopping down trees in wide leg pants soon.
Now that would be hot. It reminds me of the days where we used to wear JNCOs. Yes. Remember? Those were so cool. The trend has been wide leg pants lately. And there is a influencer on TikTok, or content creator, whatever you call them. Her name is Alex Earle. Mm-hmm. Do you know her? Mm-mm. She's like, she was a University of Miami student and just blew up, made so much money. And then now she's dating an NFL player. She was going to attend one of his games and she was trying on a bunch of clothes, one of which was a skinny jean. And then what followed after that was everyone was like, oh my God, are skinny jeans coming back? Oh my God, I can't. Oh no. Why did she look so good in that? You know, and all these young people are freaking out. They're like, I can't wear a skinny jean again.
I know. I just burned all my skinny jeans and now I hear it's coming back. I'm like, guys, can we just decide?
Yeah. Also, I feel skinny jeans are very uncomfortable.
Anyway, so you're getting your husband a stand-up steamer. That is literally the most boring present I've ever heard.
He listens to this podcast on mute, so he's not going to know about it until Christmas Day. I'm sorry. It's going to be boring.
It's the best you can do.
Is there anything on your wish list?
It's end of year. I still haven't gotten my red light mask, which is, I know.
Well, they had some good sales during Black Friday. Maybe they were in one of the boxes.
Not sure. Probably not. But that's okay. I'm all right with it. Anything on your list of wants? We know you don't have needs.
I don't have needs.
You don't have reads.
Wants. I have actually a lot of nonfiction books I've been reading about menopause.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I thought it was like, World War II history.
No. They're all going to be about self-improvement. Oh, another book that I just got from the library, I haven't opened yet. It's called Interior Chinatown. Have you heard of this?
Well, because there's a show right now with Jimmy O. Yang.
Oh, is that what it's based on?
Yes, it's based on that, but I heard it's very loosely based on it. Actually, I had written this down to talk about, but a few weeks ago, I was catching up on my podcast and Rosé from Blackpink was on The Daily podcast. And then Jimmy O. Yang was on
The Daily podcast, New York Times Daily?
Yeah. She was on The Daily. And then Jimmy O. Yang was on Fresh Air.
Wow.
You know, like literally the whitest podcast ever. And right. I was just like, oh man, like that's so cool that two of these Asian like cultural figures are like making it, you know? And really, I was just very proud of both of them. But Jimmy O. Yang is on Interior Chinatown, which is based on the book. I almost picked up the book. I was at Barnes & Noble. I was like killing time waiting for my car to charge. And I almost picked it up. But then I was like, I'll just get it from the library.
That's exactly.
I'll wait for you.
Yeah. I just picked it up.
Let me know how it is.
Speaking of which, my next door neighbor, he's a white man. It's unclear to me if he's listening to the podcast.
No way.
You think he might be? Well, I had mentioned it the last time we had a little outdoor neighbors thing. And it was when we were recording The Boyfriend. So I saw him the other day and he's like, oh, I started watching Culinary Class Wars. And I was like, oh, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. Isn't it so weird? We were talking about that. He's like, I tried The Boyfriend and I couldn't get into it. And I was like, I get it. You know. It's very specific to kind of the kind of person that would want to watch that. And then the other day I peeked in his window and he was watching Physical 100.
Oh man.
So I was like, either the algorithm on Netflix is very good, which it is, you know, he's like Korean reality shows and that's probably what's being offered to him. But also he could be tracking our podcast and seeing what we've reviewed.
I love that. And
he's
also
a white man, single, older. And here he is watching Korean shows.
And if he's listening to this, now he knows you peek in his living room. Although I am on your porch and it is very hard to avoid seeing what's on his TV.
Oh, yeah.
Like as I wait for you to open the door.
My kids, when we don't let them watch TV, they'll just like look out the window to look in his TV.
They like know the score of every 49ers game.
Yep.
So Christmas is a time of togetherness and not getting presents. Not giving presents to our spouses. It's going to be great. The greatest present to us is our listeners, really.
Oh, that is so true.
I did check our tracking because, you know, Spotify Wrapped came out.
Yes.
We actually have, you know, I think every time we say it, we're very surprised because I was tracking like the countries that we're getting downloaded in. And it's always very surprising to me. A newer country that has come up on our list is Morocco.
What?
Yeah, we have, it must be one person. I don't know. We can only see how many downloads are coming out of there, but from Casablanca, we're getting a lot of downloads.
Oh my God.
So to our Moroccan listener. Yeah, brother or sister, we salute you and say thanks for joining us.
You know, that makes me think about Luigi Mangione, who's now been on our podcast 3 weeks in a row. But when they first arrested him and all this information came out about him, it was deep diving into his digital footprint.
Like right.
His Goodreads account.
Yes.
All of his old tweets. There were so many things. They were trying to analyze him. And a lot of people were saying, your digital footprint just does not die. Mm-mm. And sometimes it scares me because we put these thoughts out into the air. Who knows?
Yes. Who knows? This will live forever.
If one of us is ever accused of second degree murder, they will find out a lot about us just on this podcast. But nevertheless.
Yes. So thank you to all our listeners this year. My husband's always like, you don't show your listeners enough love. You guys don't even mention them ever. So we do.
Oh my gosh. Your husband should just run this podcast. He's got so many critiques.
I mean, he kind of wants to be our manager, but really doesn't want to be our manager. So yes, we do want to say some fan service. Thank you all so much for sticking with us. It's been a great year.
You guys have kept us afloat. And some of you message us, which also I love. Before it was just our friends. Many of our friends have now dropped off. And now it's all of you. And we love that. And we love that you guys show us your love. So we want to show our appreciation for you.
Yep. So happy holidays, everybody. We also have appreciation for Mr. Plankton. We are on episodes 7 and 8. We last left episode 6 with the trio of our band of heroes, antagonists. I don't know. They are on a deserted island. The gangster has hit his head on a rock and Jamie has a kitchen knife sticking out of the side of like a ahi tuna.
Ooh.
Yes.
A very lean ahi tuna.
So, you know, it ended episode 6 very dark. We started episode 7 just as this show does, which is kind of bring all sorts of different unexpected flourishes to our show. So we start with a Quentin Tarantino spaghetti-style Western intro. John Na is up against a gangster. The gangster's wearing this shag fur coat. They're in some kind of warehouse. It's a very fun way to insert some energy into what becomes otherwise a very slow episode. Mm-hmm. It's a very useless.
It was so useless. Sometimes they add things that completely
don't add value. But they also just like have John Na, this
right,
beautiful
right.
mute.
Let's just do something crazy. And yes. It's him. And then Bong, what's her name? Bong Suni, who is Hejo's lover, mother,
sister,
whatever. Friend, whatever.
We do landlord. Find out who she ends up being. Yeah, the landlord. So he keeps her calling her Bong Sugi, but then the translation has her as another name, like Ryu.
So Bong Sun, like that, doesn't that sound like a country bumpkin name? So that's like a name that she wanted to get away from, you know? So she changed her name, but he knows her original name.
That's cute.
It's like, you know, I mean, I don't know if there's an American equivalent, like not even Barbara. Barbara to me like, is at least, I know we both thought of Barbara, but Barbara can be cute too.
Barbara can be so cute. Is it like, it's not Karen. Karen has a different
Karen
meaning
has
now.
A completely different connotation now.
It's like Marge.
Patricia.
Oh, like Patty.
Yeah.
Well, Patty's kind of cute.
Or Franny. So it's a country name, like Bong Suni. And so she changed it. Nobody else knows that except for him.
The reason for this spaghetti western is to set up Hejo and Jamie in a flashback. And Jamie tells Hejo, oh, that's so silly that this woman would want to kiss as she's dying. Let me tell you what I'm going to say when I die. And she whispers it in his ear.
And we don't hear what it is.
Right. Ties to then the island where they all are right now. Jamie is seemingly very wounded.
Yeah, she's got the knife in her abdomen and she's whispering something. And she keeps saying, shibai, which we told you in the first recap is the word for fuck. Mm-hmm. So we think she's saying shibai.
Right. Which I would be saying because it would hurt like shit.
Yeah.
They get rescued off this island.
Of course, miraculously.
It's insane.
What timing?
Jamie, you know, we get the requisite. She's getting rolled into surgery. The doors are closing. Hedgeau is left out in the hallway. He is clearly very torn up about the situation. He ends up at Bong Soo-gi's, the pretty Noonim's apartment, and he's just depressed. He's holding on to the one Super Ga shoe he's got in his possession that he found on the other.
Poor Super Ga. This is a terrible press for them.
I know. Well, actually, it ends up not being terrible press because we see that the Super Ga ends up saving her life later.
Right, right. That's right.
Meanwhile, pathetic fiance is at her bedside. He's begging his mother for forgiveness. The truth is coming out about what's going on with this pregnancy. He is reading to her, tends to her. She's at this compound, at his family's compound. It's a very slow episode. It's a lot of nonsense around the pathetic fiance.
Besides. Yeah, these two episodes, I think, maybe played a purpose because we don't feel like we see him and Jamie as a good match. I mm-hmm. think that he only seems even more pathetic. I think his mom sees him as pathetic. And it becomes clear to Jamie that she does not want to be with him and she doesn't think that she is good enough for him.
Jamie is recovering at his mom's house. His mom basically kicks her out. The other half of the episode is spent on Hedgeau. So he's very depressed. He's sleeping at the pretty Noonim's house. We see their history.
He was effectively homeless. And he was digging around in her neighborhood in people's trash cans looking for food. And she would always come home with something really tasty and smelled really nice. He would always sit in the front and wait for the food to come. They developed a relationship and she was like, okay, you've had enough free food. It's time for you to work for me. And it turns out she's like a madame, mm-hmm. right? She owns these clubs.
They say mahjong.
Oh, they play mahjong?
That's what the
translation
has.
Oh, interesting.
But I don't know if that means just like a gambling den.
Yes.
They definitely say mahjong.
Yeah, for sure there's gambling. There's also women that will come to the men's rooms and perform whatever. And he becomes the errand boy for all the people that work at these places. So he, you know, they're like, go get me ice. Go get me a cab. Go clean that up. And as a result, she's like, you know what? You're really good at running errands. I'm going to set you up with a little like errand shop. And mm-hmm. that's their history.
She's basically his savior and almost like an older sister.
Older sister. We find out later, Di Tonggap, which is also, again, 12 years apart. So they're mm-hmm. zodiacs. They're the same zodiac symbol. But they're 12 years apart.
Yeah. So it's actually very sweet, their relationship. We thought it might be a little sordid, but...
But they are lovers in some way too, right?
Yeah, I don't know if that's super clear. They're definitely so close that they're definitely walking around.
They're in their skivvies.
Yeah.
So, sleeping in the same bed.
Right. And I do love that they're very nebulous about it because a lot of other dramas be very chaste and be like, this is very clear that this is what's going on. Right.
So then they're like going out to eat. She's trying to get him out of his funk. And then he says to the driver, I want to go to that village. But they stop at a rest stop. Of course, the food is amazing. And then he's like washing his entire body in the sink and making himself look super sexy.
Oh my God.
That body.
His bod. This, instead of cry count for this drama, naked body shots.
He didn't. Clothes back on, I was like, no.
Keep it off. And then he ditches her on the way over there. And so we have, again, this is a lot of like wasting time, but trying to establish a relationship between Hedgeau and pathetic fiance, and also establishing that Hedgeau and Jamie are actually really meant to be together. Hedgeau goes to pathetic guy's compound. They have a chat. Pathetic fiance, you know, again, a lot more gay undertones here. These two sit on a step in this like very beautifully lit village. Hedgeau says to pathetic fiance, your body temp is so warm. I felt it when I hugged you.
Oh.
Your body doesn't feel like others. He holds his hand while they're smoking.
He does. But I think
so
Korean,
flirty.
But Korean men do that. They like to hold each other's hands.
I guess.
But you know, notice he also called him Hyung here.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, was a big turning point for him. And I think he sees him as his older brother.
And he also like ruined this guy's life.
Right.
And has taken no responsibility for it. Just shows up. He has the other shoe. Hedgeau yes. has the shoe from the Super Ga from the island. He's been carrying it around with
yes.
him. And it turns out when you see that pathetic fiance has the other
right.
shoe.
And in fact, when Jaemi was stabbed, what she was saying was not 시발, it was 신발. pie, which is the word for shoe.
Right.
So, and that shoe was in her pocket. It protected her intestines from being stabbed.
Hejo comes to give the other shoe. It makes pathetic fiance realize, like, okay, I gotta let her go. Jamie in the morning puts her shoes on, walks out of the compound, and goes out to find Hejo. She knocks on Pretty Noonim's door, finds Hejo and Pretty Noonim, like, kind of in a compromising situation.
Right. Both in their underwear.
Yes, keep that shirt off, my friend. It looks so damaging. So she walks up to him.
You just think, you're like, oh, she's going to go for the big kiss. She's going to claim him as her own in front of Bong Noonim. But then, in fact, she bites his nose. That was insane.
It was so good. I laughed out loud.
See, again, so unexpected.
I laughed out loud. So Hejo takes her outside and sends her away. Again, tries to use his hurtful words to push away this person that he loves to kind of try to save her. He knows that he only brings her misfortune. He can only stay away for 30 minutes. He runs back in the rain. Wet tracksuit. He finds her back at his old office in the rundown Aaron Center. And she's been waiting for him because she knows... he didn't mean it. She knows he'd come find her. Yeah. It's all very sweet.
And hot. And spicy.
Passionate kiss.
That makeout.
Woof.
And the shirt comes off again.
Oh, man. What is this shirt
out? Number 4, 5?
Shirt count. Yeah, maybe like 10 for this whole series so far. Sexy time happens. Post-coital. They have a memory of her birthday. Another laugh out loud moment. It shows the rings, the couple rings that he got them.
Oh my God. And he put it into the seaweed soup that she, or that they had made out of the box. And she bites into it. Has a big smile on her face. And then you see her tooth is chipped.
It's so good. It's so good. They are now solidly together. Hejo, we just see him smile like we haven't seen him smile yet in this entire series. He has to settle a debt with the lackey. So Hejo goes to meet a person that's been bombing their website that the lackey sent him to.
Right. It's supposed to be a little kid who's been looking for her lost brother. And she's like, I need to find my missing brother. His name is Tae Seung-hyuk, which is Hejo's name.
So this mom is moving to England. So she really wants to find her brother because she thinks she's going to move to England now because the dad doesn't care about her. I mean, like, is this the worst dad in the world?
Yeah, he should have kept that sperm.
To him in the freezer.
Inside. Yeah.
Inside. But he doesn't admit to her that he's her brother.
He does not. Right. Which I found strange because, like, he has a connection. Like, yeah. He's been looking for his father. But here is somebody who...
he found actual family. And she, like, showed up in his lap and he let her get on a bus and drive away.
Right.
So I really hope we see more of them, but it feels like she was just here to be a vehicle to help him jumpstart his want to meet his father again. Because it feels like that storyline has died off.
Right.
I was like, I want to see those two. I don't care about this stupid dad search.
Exactly. We see, though, that Hejo's disease is getting worse. So he's trying to drink. He loses grip. He can't control his body.
Has he been to the Yakuk and gotten his prescription refilled?
He needs some Rejuveron. But he's so dead set on finding this third candidate who he has found out is the CEO of the pharmaceutical company. And in another crazy, insano twist, they go to some ceremony where the CEO is like cutting a ribbon. Yeah. And they decide they're going to pull a piece of his hair.
So then Jimmy, just being an insano, and we love her for it, runs up to him,
jumps on him to grab his hair. Turns out it's a wig.
And we see Hejo at the end of this episode has had a seizure and he's on the floor.
Right.
We end episode 8, Hejo on the floor and Jimmy screaming like, I need to get to him. And so we only have two episodes left. Which is kind of crazy. I do love 10 episodes.
Me too.
It's been
makes
nonstop.
It so much more palatable.
Yeah. And usually around this time, it's
is
like
when we're like
so
dragging on. Yeah. And that's why the pace of this is much faster. I mean, these two episodes were quite slow, but it's because the last two are going to be two huge bombs.
Yes. Literally in his head.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously he's going to get a miraculous cure, obviously.
And then I feel like he's not going to find out who his father is.
I've also been thinking, I know it is definitely his father journey. For a second there, I was wondering if he was also actually looking for Jimmy's parents. Like, that's why he was dragging her along. Like, it doesn't seem like that anymore. But he does say on the birthday flashback, I will find your real birthday.
Right. That's right. That's a good point. But we've had no leads. So no that leads. Would be very of huge shock, which I wouldn't put past these people to do in episode 9.
The love story is in full action. We have Bong Noonim here, who is I mean, she is also just like takes over the screen. We're establishing them now as friends.
Yes.
Actually, there's a scene, right? So there's a scene where they go and they're all like kind of fighting and bickering at each other, but they all sit, three of them, on the sofa in the living room.
Yeah, they're smoking and drinking and having a good old time together.
And to me, this is like, oh, this is actually your family.
Yeah.
This is your found family.
Yes.
And so these three people, it's established that Bong Noonim also doesn't have a great family. It's like these three people who don't come from a good, actual, natural family have found each other.
Have found their people. Yep.
I can't wait to see Pathetic Fiancé join this little trio.
That would be wonderful for the foursome. Maybe him and Bong Noonim will become lovers.
Ooh. She's too old to have his children, though, apparently. He calls her 40 years old. I was like, damn, this girl looks good.
She looks good, but they also went hard on how much of an ajumma she is. And I was like, damn, I mean, come on. 40's a new 30.
Okay, that was Mr. Plankton episodes 7 and 8. We have 2 more episodes left on this extremely fun and engaging drama. I'm kind of sad to have to end this. Thanks for being on this ride with us. You guys are the best. We appreciate you so much.
All around the world.
Yes. Have a wonderful end of the year. Have a good week.
Bye.